In the vanguard of the revolution is the internet. Imagine, before 1995, no one had traded stocks online and e-commerce was hardly a revenue ripple in corporate America. This year, the internet economy will total more than $500 billion, bigger than the $355 billion airline industry. That's according to a University of Texas research institute. The World Wide Web is spawning hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurial dot-com companies, as internet-related firms are known. The competitive pressure is forcing old-line brick-and-mortar firms to reinvent themselves around the internet. The impact on the economy has been dramatic. Information technologies accounted for more than a third of the economy's growth since the mid-1990s.
This is not an evolutionary change. This is a revolutionary change.
Steve Larson is head of marketing at NetPerceptions, an e-commerce company that creates websites sensitive to a customer's needs and preferences.
The internet and connecting people is going to change the way in which we buy products, the way we shop, the way we acquire information, the way we meet other people. It is not a little thing that's happening. A question I get on occasion is the internet being overhyped given all the attention it gets? And given the implications when we look back at this time, 5-10 years out, I think we'll think it perhaps was underhyped.
The information revolution is part of an even broader wave of innovation. Biologists are engineering stunning advances in medicine. Manufacturing companies are developing new fabrication techniques that boost productivity. Each innovation feeds off and reinforces the other in a global economy where ideas, money, and information are combining as never before. Yet history shows that not everyone prospers in an innovation-led economy. In the 1800s, the spread of railroads devastated once flourishing communities that ended up without a rail link. Some observers worry Minnesota is being left far behind as the new economy surges ahead.
I don't think are falling behind. I think we have fallen behind.
Like many venture capitalists, Frank Bennett dismisses Minnesota's standing when it comes to high tech.
We certainly have gone from being, when I first got into the business 18 years ago, being a top 5 state in terms of allocation of venture capital, to being somewhere between 15th and 20th. And I think the money follows the innovations and follows the entrepreneurs and follows the opportunities. And if that's the case, the money's leaving Minnesota.
The glory has faded from Minnesota's legendary computer companies like Control Data and Cray Research. The University of Minnesota is a bureaucratic Goliath rather than the region's knowledge center. Politicians devote more time to sports stadiums than high-tech entrepreneurship. An air of complacency is almost as obvious as the state's well-known traits of courtesy and civic engagement. True, when it comes to some indicators of high-tech development, Minnesota is above average, but not by much. For instance, the Progressive Policy Institute puts Minnesota 14th in its ranking of states poised to profit from the new economy. Put it this way, think of today's hotspots. Silicon Valley is ground zero in the new economy. The Seattle area is booming thanks to Microsoft. Austin is a dynamic high-tech center with Dell Computer at its center. Washington, D.C. is the motherlode of telecom networks. Boston's Route 128 is thriving. But the Twin Cities? Minnesota? Silicon Prairie? Yet Minnesota may be doing better than the numbers suggest. Joe Ronning is head of Digital River, a provider of online stores and shareware publishing for companies around the globe.
I'm seeing a lot of momentum here in the state in terms of an internet market, in terms of a business community growing around the internet.
Ronning says Minnesota is getting the high-capacity telecom lines high-tech companies need to do business. Steve Larson of NetPerceptions adds that he's seeing more of the creative dialogue, the exchange of ideas that generate new ventures.
There is a real buzz around the internet starting in the local community. You've had some really terrific companies do very well. Digital River, our company, NetPerceptions, Chumbo. That's given, I think, and inspired a lot of people to say, hey, you know what, you can really make it in Minnesota and create a really fabulous internet business.
The high-tech tide may no longer be receding. Yes, Minnesota lacks the energy and the mercenary appeal of Silicon Valley, yet the state's high-tech talent pool is expanding and extends well beyond the internet. The Mayo Clinic is a medical research center of global repute. Medtronic, the medtech behemoth, is adding workers and building a new world headquarters in Minnesota. Art Collins, president of Medtronic, argues that Minnesota's medical device industry is doing well.
With respect to medical technology, I'd almost say that Silicon Valley may be a mini Twin Cities in terms of its capability in spawning new medical device and technology companies.
Minnesota offers many of the key attributes critical for high-tech growth, including a skilled labor force, an international airport, and a good quality of life. What it lacks is a university that nourishes new firm creation, like the universities in San Francisco and Boston. That's why the high-tech community is applauding President Mark Udall's efforts to transform the U from an ivory tower bureaucracy into the community's idea factory.
I think, and this may sound boastful or overstated, but the success of Minnesota over the next 25, 50 years is going to be intimately tied to the success of the University of Minnesota.
He's not exaggerating. High-tech companies gravitate toward vibrant universities, and high-tech jobs pay well. Economists at Regional Financial Associates calculate that earnings of workers in IT-producing industries were $55,000 last year, compared to $38,000 in IT-using industries and just over $30,000 for non-IT industries. Clearly, the stakes are high for Minnesota and its government. Competitive advantage no longer belongs to those blessed with abundant resources or the most capital. In the new economy, it's knowledge and entrepreneurship that count. The choices governments make, from telecommunications policy to the cost of doing business, can encourage or retard high-tech growth. But the number one priority is education, say many high-tech executives. Of course, there are risks. A high-tech economy is tumultuous. Businesses will succeed and fail at a rapid pace, while workers will quickly gain and lose jobs. But the prospect of falling behind, of becoming little more than flyover country in the new economy, is far worse. It could happen without a sense of urgency. The lesson Joe Ronning takes from the demise of the region's earlier computer industry is instructive for Minnesota companies and government.
It's a real lesson to be learned by all high technology managers that there's always someone at your shoulder, there's always someone on your back, there's always somebody 1 foot behind you who is trying to get in front of you. And if you relax, you're dead. You're out of business at some point.
The transition from the industrial era to the internet age won't be easy, but embracing the high-tech economy will pay off for years to come when it comes to jobs and income. I'm Chris Farrell for Minnesota Public Radio.